Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to talk with Steve Moore of FreedomWorks, senior economic contributor. He recently wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal called Blocking the Budget Busters. And actually, he talks about the fact that the sequestration program is actually more successful than people realize. Steve, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
Now, if we were to just listen to what President Obama has said, you would think that the sequestering whole scenario was a disaster. But apparently it's been working, but now there's apparently some backroom deals going on. Tell us about this.
Yeah, well, you know, the budget caps that we put in place after the fiscal cliff negotiations between John Boehner and Barack Obama, those were put into effect back in 2012. And government spending has fallen a lot as a share of GDP. We've gone from about 24% of GDP from the federal spending down to 20.5%. That's a big deal. That's a big decline. We've saved about $500 billion a year thanks to these cuts. And Jerry, as you know, there's a lot of progress to still be made because we still have a $500 billion deficit per year. But we've made a lot of progress from the nearly $1.5 trillion per year deficits of Obama's first term, and we have to stick to those caps. We cannot let Congress go back to the way that they were spending before. Obama would love that, but it would be a huge capitulation to the big spenders in Congress and the special interest groups. And I think it's also the surest way for Republicans to lose.
Well, you wrote in a Wall Street Journal op-ed recently, it said, it looks as if the budget restraint in D.C. is beginning to waver. Congress and the White House are quietly negotiating a deal for the new fiscal year that would bust the spending caps that have brought down the deficit. Wow. Hey, wouldn't they be breaking their promises?
Yep, it sure would. And, you know, the one promise Republicans made when they asked voters to put them back in power in the House and Senate was to keep spending going down and to bring the deficit down and eventually balance the budget, Jerry. And if they bust these caps and let Obama, out of those tight caps that he has to live under, we'd be moving in the wrong direction. And the first Republican Congress we've had in many, many years would then be accommodating huge increases in deficits. And I estimate, by the way, if we slip on these caps this year, over the next 10 years, because every successive year they'll spend more, it would cost us $1 trillion more on the debt. We can't afford that.
By the way, how come the debt doesn't seem to be moving anymore lately? It's been $18 trillion and it's just sort of stuck there.
Well, it's going up by about $500 billion a year or so. And we're running against a debt ceiling increase in the next few months, and that's going to be another battle royale. And my feeling is we should only let them increase the debt if they identify as ways that are going to cut spending so that we don't have to go through this year after year. I mean, a great nation doesn't borrow $500 billion to $1 trillion a year. Did you know, Jerry, we're borrowing over $1 billion a day. We're borrowing more than $1 billion every single day, 365 days of the week.
$1 billion a day. From whom?
From Americans,
our children?
From foreigners, Chinese, from the Indian, from other countries, the Fed is buying up a lot of this debt. But, that's not a healthy thing for a nation to be doing. $1 billion a day of borrowing, that means just the short time we're doing this interview, it'll be another, $50 million or so of borrowing.
Wow. Pretty soon that adds up to real money. You said this in the close of your piece. Busting the spending caps will only reverse progress toward a balanced budget, fatten liberal social programs, and confirm what many Tea Party voters have been shouting for years, that Republicans break their promises once elected. If party leaders take that route, they shouldn't need to scratch their heads and wonder why people are so angry.
That's exactly right. And Republicans have to be the party of fiscal discipline. They have to be the party of growth, economic growth, not growth in budgets. And they need to be the party of balanced budgets. And if we break the caps this year, we will be telling the voters, we don't really care about that. We want to grow government. We don't want to grow jobs. We don't want to grow businesses. And that's the wrong approach. If the government spends a dollar, Jerry, that's one less dollar that the private sector has for its priorities.
Hmm. All right, where is the real battle going on here? Is it over social programs? Is it related to military spending? What are we fighting over here?
Well, a lot of the Republicans want to spend more on the military, and we probably do need to eventually replenish our military, which has been cut a lot under Obama. But for now, as long as he's president, we need to keep the lid on, because half of the spending cuts that have happened have come from the military and about half from domestic programs. But we have seen cuts in the programs that liberals care a lot about. And as you know, a lot of the money is in the entitlement programs like, Medicare and welfare and Medicaid. And those, Obamacare, we're only going to get the liberals to agree to spending cuts on those programs if the other programs they care about continue to get shrunk by these budget caps. This has been, in my opinion, the most effective way to cut government we've had since Ronald Reagan was in office. That was, 20, 25 years ago. So this has been a very effective tool. I don't want Republicans to lose it, or else I think we're going to see runaway budgets again.
And the tool you're talking about is the sequester.
Yes, because the sequester basically says that if you don't meet these deficit targets, these budget targets, automatic across-the-board cuts come. And, they could be as much as 4 or 5 cents on the dollar, but, I think everyone listening to the show agrees every agency can find a way to save a nickel on the dollar. I mean, goodness,
yeah.
Most agencies are spending, wasting 30 or 40 cents on the dollar. So there's certainly ways that they can, stop having so many parties, stop paying all these overtime salaries, stop, all the, the other excessive spending. My gosh, we just learned that the last 10 years, the EPA has spent $90 million on furniture.
Wow. So this is a very interesting comment you're making, though, about the sequester, because in the minds of many people, hearing as they do, different statements made by the media or by the politicians, you would have thought that the sequester, number one, was something of the, it didn't work. It was a failed idea. Most importantly, it is, something that has failed. But you're saying not only has it not failed, it works, and therefore it ought not to be undermined.
Yeah, I would say this, Jerry. Is this the best way to cut spending? No. There's much better ways to do it by prioritizing spending. But you know what? Right now, it's the only way to cut spending. So if we don't do this, we're not going to have spending cuts at all. And we've got to bring this enormous debt down. We've got to balance our budget like every family does. We've got to, if we want to have tax cuts for American families and businesses, we have to cut our expenditures. And my goodness, the budget has been so bloated over the last 6 years of Obama's spending. These agencies can take the cuts. I guarantee it. I live near the Pentagon. I live a few miles away from the Pentagon. It's one of the most bloated bureaucratic agencies I've ever seen. Let's make them cut the things that are wasteful and keep the, instead of cutting the bone, cut the fat. Cut the fat out of the budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you this. What about Obamacare? As Obamacare continues, it seems like each year there's some new additional, aspect to its rollout, and that would, I think, certainly impact the budget.
Yeah, and look, Obamacare has been a huge budget buster, and not only that, it's reducing employment because of, a lot of employers have to cut back on employment to comply with all these new costs. It's a terrible bill. It should be entirely repealed, at least trim back in terms of the amazing costs of the program. Unfortunately, that's not covered under the sequester. Those programs are immune from the sequester. So that's the bad part of the sequester. The programs that need to be cut back the most, like welfare, like food stamps and things like that, they are not, they do not come under the sequester. They continue to grow on automatic pilot. And that's how we got to this deficit crisis in the first place.
Okay, but if you start dealing with food stamps or you start dealing with welfare, then all of a sudden you're like Scrooge. You remember when Newt Gingrich tried to do some serious reform in 1994? He was likened to Scrooge and so forth. What are your comments to that?
Well, look, what I favor, I don't want to throw people out on the street. We don't want people to go hungry, obviously. But food stamps, we all know there's so much fraud in that program. Same thing with the unemployment insurance program, where people stay unemployed until they run out of benefits. We should have a work requirement for every program. So yes, we're going to say we're going to help people who want to help themselves. If you're able-bodied and you can work, you should work, because the best way to get back on their feet is to get a job, not to stay on welfare. We ought to have, you know, time limits on how long you can get the benefits. It shouldn't be a safety net that lasts for years. It should be something to help people maybe for 6 months, not you have people get 2, 3, 5 years of these benefits. That makes no sense.
Well, as a matter of fact, as far as food stamps, we got about 46 million Americans now are on food stamps. That's almost one out of six Americans. As far as the unemployment,
this is no exaggeration. People, you know, driving up in BMWs and Porsches to the food stamp office to get their, you know, to get their benefits. I mean, that's ridiculous. There's no asset test. You can have people living in million-dollar homes getting food stamps. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is. That is. And meanwhile, there's about 92 to maybe 102 million unemployed people who are of working age and, you know, should be or could be out in the labor force.
That's right. And so and by the way, a lot of employers need workers. You know, they need workers. We need to get them the right skills so that they can fill the jobs that are necessary. You're right. We have a record 92 million people over the age of 16 that are not working in this country. And that's, a shame. And I think it's partly because welfare has taken place of getting a job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you take away some of the benefits, guess what? People will actually move into the labor force. And the best job training program is to have a job. And that's I always told my son, who's 22, looking for a job now, I said, David, just get a job, and then once you get a job, you'll be able to find a second or a third job. But to be unemployed, that's the worst possible. Nobody wants to hire somebody who's unemployed.
Excellent. Where can people read your article, Blocking the Budget Busters?
Heritage.org, and I hope people continue. I still write regularly. I'm a contributor to the Wall Street Journal. I hope people continue to read the editorial page for the Wall Street Journal. And also Investors Business Daily has really good stuff, too. So, Jerry, really a pleasure to be on your show, and thanks for covering the story, which is so important, and look forward to being on again soon.
Okay, thank you, Steve Moore. I appreciate it. Okay, bye-bye now. That is Steve Moore of the Wall Street Journal. Again, the name of his article is Blocking the Budget Busters. You can go on our website and find a link to that article. Thank you, and we'll be back in just a moment with more on Vocal Point.